from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Caspick. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, and also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about the Giants' nail-biter 7-6 win over the Toronto Blue Jays, and we're going to look at the game notes and how it pertains to some larger topics. We're going to discuss Mark Melancon and Tony Watson specifically. We're also going to talk about Sandoval, who had another good game today as he was able to be the designated hitter. But first, I want to talk about the Giants' record, because that is the thing that I am realizing that I didn't do for a long time but want to do now every show. So the win brings the Giants to 10-14, and they have a chance to now have a 500 road trip, despite the very negative way this road trip started out with losing 2 out of 3 to the Nationals and the Pirates. So the Giants' run differential on the season is now minus 12, which has an expected win-loss record of 10-14. So now their expected win-loss record is the same as their actual record. They had been trailing their expected record by about a game for the last week or so. So good to see that they've caught up to be in line with where they should be. So getting right into the game notes, the first thing here is that Gerardo Parra tried to steal home in the first inning and he was thrown out. The analysis there is that the catcher seemingly violated a rule that states that he's not allowed to come in front of the plate when a runner is attempting to steal home. And that's what the catcher did, but the umpires did not call that. He was tagged out. And the other point there is that the Giants still have not allowed a first inning run all season, which is quite incredible. They've played 24 games. I believe it is now the second longest all-time streak of scoreless first innings to start a season. So pretty remarkable, and not the kind of history you want to be a part of. It probably has a lot to do, I hate to say it, with the fact that Steven Duggar is not performing well offensively, yet he's been continuing to be the leadoff man. And I don't totally blame Bochy. It's not like they have a lot of other great options in the rest of the lineup. He just happens to be the struggling guy who bats first, just like the rest of them are struggling, and they have yet to score a run in the first inning, although they came, that's probably the closest they've come. Parra was out by just a matter of inches. So the second note here is that Kevin Pillar returned to Toronto, and they had a very nice video moment where they played a highlight reel for him when he took the field. He took the field by himself for the Giants while that video played. He also got a rousing standing ovation in his first at-bat, and he delivered a hit that scored a run in his first at-bat. And again, it was aggressive base running. You absolutely have to send the guy with two outs there, and it was Sandoval, a slow runner, but it was an obvious send, just like we've talked about in recent episodes, and the throw was offline, and Sandoval made it easily. If you have an online throw there, maybe he gets thrown out, and people are saying, why do you send him? He was out by 15 feet. But the fact that it was offline, it wasn't even close, and it was 100% the right move, and they scored a run, and they scored multiple runs. They got 3 in that second inning, and they went up big in this game. They hit 4 home runs in this game, but they did later allow the Blue Jays to come back, and we will get to that next. So Jeff Samardzija started this game. He didn't have his best stuff. He only got 4 strikeouts in 5 1/3. He did allow a home run, and he walked one, and he ended up allowing he allowed only 2 runs, but the peripherals are kind of screaming here, and they've been screaming a little bit all season. So he's been outperforming them handily, and he continues to do so right now, where he has an earned run average on the season of 3, but his fielding independent pitching is 3.77, and the expected fielding independent pitching, based on normalizing the home run rate, which, you know, he's a guy who's had a problem giving up home runs. So I would tend to lean more towards normalizing the home run rate to a league average rate instead of expecting him to continue to be better than average at preventing home runs. So that number is 4.7. So all the signs here for me are pointing towards an ERA more around 4, if not over 4, instead of the 3 earned run average that we see now. And it's perfectly normal to see guys do this in small samples. So the fact that he's only thrown 27 innings on the season, now I would put way more stock into the numbers here, like the FIP and the XFIP, than his earned run average through 27 innings. And again, I'm not trying to be harsh on him personally. It's just what I'm seeing here. And I would expect that to be what happens, is unless he starts dominating guys and striking people out, which we have seen him do in the past. But until that starts happening, then these numbers are just probably going to go up. So in the sixth inning, Samardzija got into some trouble, and Rowdy Tellez, who is a dangerous left-handed hitter, ended up coming up representing the tying run in the sixth inning with the Giants winning 5-2. So there were two on and one out, and Mark Melancon was the only guy warming up in the bullpen. And my initial thought was, oh no, you're going to use Mark Melancon, who we've seen get battered around the last couple of years, in this crucial spot against a left-handed power hitter who represents the tying run in this game that the Giants seem to have totally under control. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought that, you know what, that actually is an interesting call to go to Melancon in that situation. The cutter that he features actually might be a good pitch against lefties, and somehow this is something I didn't know about Mark Melancon, but went on to his lifetime stats, and he actually has been better against left-handed pitching than he had, left-handed hitting than he has against right-handed hitting in his career. And no, we're not just looking at batting average. And if you want to know why, you can look at yesterday's episode, listen to yesterday's episode. But in terms of weighted on base average, lefties only have a 250 weighted on base average against Mark Melancon in his career. And that's remarkable. That's very low. Of course, his career spans quite a long time, but still, the league average in that category is usually around 320. So he's 70 points below that. That is just way above average. And that's against left-handed hitters. So against righties, it's 275, which is also really good. So we've seen the worst of Mark Melancon. This used to be one of the better relief pitchers in all of baseball. And so the fact that he's pitched so well this year, and I'm starting to believe what I'm seeing here a little bit, because he has the 0 earned run average, which I don't believe, but the peripherals are still really good and the projections are still really good. And I've seen it with my own eyes. He seems to be better. He's throwing with confidence. He's throwing with velocity. And he's hitting his spots. And he ended up getting Tellez to fly out to center field. And then he struck out Brandon Drury. And that was the inning. So good job by Mark Melancon. It's great to see there's increasingly becoming a chance that some other team might be willing to just take on the remainder of his contract. And that's something the Giants, you know, maybe even at this point, they might even be asking for something in addition to a team taking on the remainder of that contract. I don't know about that, because he is owed quite a bit of money. It's something like $30 million over the next two seasons, including this one. But his stock has definitely gone up from where it was last year. Remember to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. You can find us on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya, in an ever-expanding podcast world. You need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya on your app store and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk briefly about the seventh inning with Tony Watson giving up a grand slam and some concerns about Tony Watson. We're also going to look at the offense and Pablo Sandoval specifically, so you're not going to want to miss it. That's all coming up next. But first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BLUE Chew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so as promised, we're going to talk about Tony Watson, a little bit of Sam Dyson, and some Pablo Sandoval here in the second half of the show. So the point about Dyson is just that he had a really strong seventh inning. He got a strikeout and a couple ground balls, so he's had a really nice season as well. And he went out there for the eighth and gave up a walk and two singles. And so in comes Tony Watson, who proceeds to strike out Justin Smoke, who's a very dangerous switch hitter. And then here's Tellez again with the bases loaded and representing not the tying run, but one run shy of the tying run. And so there's one out with Watson against Tellez. And I guess you really couldn't ask for a better matchup on paper in terms of you want a lefty in there. Watson has been really good with the Giants since especially last season, but Watson does give up a grand slam and the Blue Jays pull to within one run. So the point about Watson that I want to make is that he so far this year is not looking as sharp as he was last year. I know the earned run average was 1.29 entering the game and it's only 2.25 now, and a lot of that had to do with all three of those runners were Sam Dyson's. But the thing about Tony Watson this season is that he's really not striking people out. Yes, he got one strikeout in one inning pitched today, but last year he struck out 27% of batters, and entering yesterday's game he was only at 10%. So we're talking about a dramatic decrease in strikeout rate, and granted it's too early to conclude that that's going to continue, and I would expect that it wouldn't, but we need to start seeing some more Ks from Tony Watson moving forward, because yes, he has the really good ERA, but until he starts getting some strikeouts, those peripheral numbers are ugly and they're around 4. And that's where he kind of lived for a couple of years when he seemed to be in decline, and he was also allowing home runs more than he ever did during that time. But then in 2018, it was a very nice bounce back year, and that's why he was able to be signed for such a strangely small contract last season by the Giants, because he was coming off a couple of down seasons in terms of the peripherals especially. His ERA was still pretty good, but the peripherals jumped way up from where they had been previously. So the last couple of things I want to mention, I want to talk about Pablo Sandoval, who was the designated hitter in this game, and he went on to have 3 hits, including a home run, and he hasn't walked on the season, and the Giants did not draw a walk in this game, which continues to be a major red flag. They are last in baseball in walk rate, and that is not good, as we talked about on yesterday's show about weighted on base average. A walk is very much more like a single than it is like an out. So you need walks, and if you're not getting them, that definitely matters, and the Giants are not getting them. But Sandoval specifically has been one of the Giants' top offensive performers this season, even though he's barely played. He has 7 doubles in 32 plate appearances, 7 of his 11 hits are doubles, and 1 home run, which is why he has this ISO, which is the difference between your slugging percentage and your batting average, of 313, which is really good. And so the batting average and the on-base percentage are the same because he hasn't drawn any walks, and that's an unsustainable number of 344, and I can tell it's unsustainable because he has a batting average on balls in play of 417, which just does not last. That's right around where Gorky's Hernandez was last season when people were getting all hyped about him, and I said the exact same thing. This is not going to last. You just don't sustain that kind of average on balls in play, and sure enough, it fell by 100 points, and he ended up not being a good offensive player. So I know for a fact that that number is going to pull down his batting average and thus his on-base percentage, and it's going to become more unacceptable to have no walks when suddenly you're not hitting 344 but 244, and then your on-base percentage is also 244. That's a problem. But the good news is that he is hitting for power. Like, when he's getting his hits, they've been productive hits, and he just seems to be a guy who is still capable of barreling up a baseball, and he's been good for the Giants so far. So the whole point there is that, is moving Brandon Belt to left field, for example, worth the offensive upgrade that you're going to get when you sacrifice the defense of putting Sandoval at first and Belt in left versus having Belt at first and Parra in left, for example. So it's something that the Giants need to decide if it's worth it. I don't know that it is, because defense matters, and preventing a run literally is the exact same as scoring a run in terms of how it affects your chances of winning a game. But it's something to consider, because nobody is hitting on the Giants and Sandoval is. So maybe he'll get some starts at third. He'll probably get in there in this upcoming game against the Blue Jays today. Remember, to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. I hope that you do. If you like this show, please consider subscribing and leaving a review. I cannot wait to be with you again on Thursday. We'll get to talk about this last game of the road trip. The Giants, again, going for a 500 trip, and that would be a huge momentum boost for the Giants as they come back home to face the Yankees and the Dodgers. I cannot wait, and until then, we'll see you next time.